1 Samuel 16:7. For the Lord sees, not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. James 4:10. Romans 12:1. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Romans 12:1. And Ephesians 5:1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Ephesians 5:1. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of James, chapter 4, verse 13. James chapter 4, verse 13. You see this verse on the screen before you. You see it on the back of today's bulletin. James chapter 4, verse 13. Our purpose for being here today is to study God's Word, to grow in grace and knowledge of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has been good to all of us to present to us the completed canon of Scripture. We have this magnificent book, God's Word. It is our roadmap. It is that which makes it possible for us to be victorious and triumphant in life. No way to be triumphant in life as believers if we do not have the thinking of Jesus Christ, if we do not utilize that thinking after having metabolized it, which simply means that we have accepted it, we believe it, and we're now practicing it. That's what God's plan is for us as believers, to take God's Word in while we're in harmony, and then on a day-by-day basis utilize and apply the things we learn. In the light of what I've just been saying, may we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we realize today that the longest we would ever live on this earth would be a very short time compared to 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000 years, our eternity. And so we pray that while we are here on the earth, we'll realize the importance of keeping our priorities straight. Help us to understand that life is a gift of God's grace, and that we're privileged to have each day. We are able to breathe. We're able to move about. We're thankful for that. We're thankful that you've given us what we need to have triumph and victory, joy and peace and contentment and happiness in life. Help us to realize how powerful it is to function within the framework of your plan. We pray that we will realize again today, as we open our hearts and minds to your word, how important it is for us to have Jesus Christ preeminent first place in our lives. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to begin our reading with James chapter 4, verse 12, which was our verse at the last session. But we're moving now into the last part of this chapter, James chapter 4, 13 through 17, with an emphasis in this session on James 4, 13. James 4, 12 says, there's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who's able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there, engage in business, make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Over the years, we've been analyzing how great and good and wonderful God is. We've analyzed today the subject of aseity, which means that God is self-existent. God is self-appointed. God has a magnificent plan for us. What we've come to now in James 4:13 is an emphasis upon the practicality of life. In other words, what should our attitude be on a day-by-day basis? When we studied that word aseity, we realized that it is from a Latin word which means from, and then the word which means self, from self. It's an emphasis upon the fact that Jesus Christ has informed us that God is eternal. God knows everything. God knows all about us. God knows how long we're going to be here. We do not know that. God even knows the number of hair we have in our head. We don't know that. God is so wonderful and so good. And as I emphasized during the break to someone, we walk into a room that's dark and we have one of those controls that is a dimmer switch. And it's dark when we first go into that room, and we take that dimmer switch and we begin to turn it, and it begins to brighten up the room for us. And we keep on turning it and keep on turning it until eventually, it's amazing to us, we're able to see because the whole room is so brilliantly where we can see. And we're able to determine and see things we were not able to see in the dark. That's exactly the way it is in the Christian life. If we're not careful, we're going to live our lives in darkness. The Bible says people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That should not characterize you and me, because we should be characterized by the desire for light and brightness and knowledge and understanding. And we should walk into a room, so to speak, of God's Word and begin to turn the dimmer switch up so that we can begin to see more clearly. And we're looking around and we're seeing magnificent biblical subjects, great biblical doctrines. How fantastic it is. As we are looking at these, it seems that we are seeing them not only in general, all over the place. Most of you are aware of the fact that so many of the biblical subjects we have been placed on the internet. We have less than 100 there now. We should have about 300 or 400 there. The reason we do not have 300 or 400 there is because it takes time to analyze those and put them in proper order before they're placed on the internet. And so we're going to try to do that more and more as the years come and go. And as I get a little younger, as the time goes on, I'm going to try to do more emphasis on those magnificent doctrines of God's Word, put them on the internet for you. I trust that you're using those, that you'll get on the internet, find the biblical subjects and take those biblical subjects and analyze them, print them out, and study them. Use them as you study the Word of God each day. But we walk into this room and we see all these magnificent subjects, and we first just see them as several hundred biblical subjects. And then we begin to shine a spotlight down on any one of them, and then we begin to analyze it. It's so fantastic to be able to find yourself into various subjects, whatever the subject is. And oftentimes when I'm dealing with people by way of the internet or email, I will remind them that it would be good for them to look up various subjects and print these out and study them. I would remind you to do the same. James 4:13 is a powerful verse. It's the beginning of a section in the Scripture that reminds us how brief life is. This next month, I only have one brother, and my brother Morris, who's 5 years my senior, is going to have a birthday, and he's going to be 85. That's in July, the latter part of it. He married a young lady years ago, I remember that very well, and she's just a couple of weeks older than he is. So in July 7th, she'll be 85. And Joyce's brother, I always thought of him as a little kid. He's been a kid through the years, even though he's grown up and all these various years have come and gone, and it dawned on me that next month he's going to have a birthday. He's going to be 70 years of age. I can't believe that. I think in terms of our children, we're too young. Joyce and I are too young to have children that old. Something's happening. I don't understand what it is. But they shouldn't be, couldn't be, but they are that old. That's probably the way you feel about it too. Some of you older folks are aware of the fact that you're getting older. And some of you younger folks don't even realize that you're getting older, but you are. James 4:13 is a powerful verse. We're going to look at it for a few moments, and then I'm going to draw some conclusions. I analyze this first word, A-G-E. Look at it in your on the screen or on the back of your bulletin. A-G-E. The second word there is noon, N-U-N, noun. And when I look at this, I'm aware of the fact that it is the word which means come now. And when I first looked at this, it really threw me off for a little bit because I was not thinking properly. And I was not aware of the fact that that A-G-E came from a verb, ago, A-G-O. Now, you see it there? It's on the back of your bulletin. But what I'm seeing here is something that you and I need to take to heart. The Spirit of God is saying, not only to the people of that day, but He's saying to us today, come near, come now, come let us reason together. I want you to draw near to me so that I can say something to you that you can hear it properly. Have you ever said that to your children? Will you come sit down, please? I have something to say to you, directly to you. Not to your brother, not to your sister, not to your mother, to you. You ever done that? This is for you. Okay, that's what I got here. It says, come now. Come near. Come listen to what is to be said next. You have been going around saying, I have my plans. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do another. Well, next week I'm going to go so-and-so, and next month I'm going to be doing so-and-so, and next year I plan to do so-and-so. There's not a person in this room who's not done that. It's not wrong to make plans, but be careful how you make your plans if you're making your plans outside of what God's plan is for us. All right, let's stop on some words. Come now. It's the Greek word ago. Do you see it in the first line down there in parentheses? What does it say there? P-A-I-M-P. What does that mean? That means present tense. That's what the P stands for, present tense, continuous action. A stands for active voice. Each person as a believer is to put forth some action. The IMP stands for imperative mood. It's a command. Oh, listen. You mean the Spirit of God is saying through James to the people of that day and saying to us today, listen, listen, listen. Come near. Pay attention. I want you to be aware of the fact that I'm listening to you and you're saying a lot of things. You're talking about making money. You're talking about going here and going there and doing this and doing that. And you're saying that you're going to come up at a certain point. You're going to pick up your business and you're going to move to another city. You're going to establish your business there and you're going to be successful there. You're going to stay there a while and then you're going to move to another town or another city and you're going to establish your business there and you're going to make money and you're going to move from place to place and make money and you're going to move from place to place and make money. Come now, listen to what needs to be heard. That's the reason why it's an imperative mood, a command. Come now, the one saying, today or tomorrow, we shall go into this city, and we're going to continue there a year, and we're going to trade, and we're going to make money. Now, I'm putting this into my own terminology. Well, I've got it written here, so I've got it written out. I can read it to you. Now, listen. You who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. So I type this out so that you can see it. These people are thinking about making money. They're thinking about making money. Is anything wrong with making money? No. Yes. Did you notice how I said that? No. Yes. No is proper. Yes is proper. There's not anything wrong with money. There's not anything wrong with making money. No. Yes. We're going to spend a year there. We're going to carry on business there. We're going to say today or tomorrow, we're going to do this or that or the other. And the Lord says, could I have your attention, please? I really believe that's what He's saying to me, and I believe that's what He's saying to you. Could I have your attention, please? But it's not that. He's saying, attention, please. That's different than what I said a while ago. May I have your attention, please? You don't say that to your little children when they're doing improper things. Attention! And that's what we have here. Come now. Draw near. Those who keep on saying, present active participle, nominative masculine plural, those who keep on saying, here's what we're going to do. We've got our future all mapped out. Future middle indicative. Do you see that? Oh. Lord, we want you to know that we've already made our plans. Please don't interrupt us. Lord, we're going to do so and so on a certain day. Please don't bother us in any way. Don't discourage us. We've already made plans to do this. So He says, come now. Those of you who are saying, and you keep on saying this, we're going to make plans for the future. Future middle indicative. Here's what we're going to do. Today or tomorrow, we shall go into this city and continue. Uh-oh. I found a word here. It's the Greek word poeo. We translated it as continue, but it's the word which means to do. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do that, another. And we're going to do it in the future tense, future active indicative of poeo. In fact, we've already made our plans, Lord. We've decided that what we're going to do, we're going to go to another city and we're going to stay there a year. Isn't that wonderful? Lord, don't bother us. I've got it all set up. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take up the family. We're going to move out of our house. We're going to move out of our tent. We're going to move to another place. And there's where we're going to stay for a year. And while we're there, we're going to trade. They're going to involve themselves in First Monday, Canton, trade day. Some of you identify with that. We're going to trade. And we're going to make money. It's going to be what we do. If you'll notice, and I want you to see this, when it says we continue, we do, the active voice says the subject is producing the action. We're going to stay there a year. If you'll notice, that particular verb is a middle voice. The subject participates in the action is going to be benefited thereby. We've already made the plans. We're going to participate in the action, and we're going to be benefited thereby, and the indicative mood is the mood of reality. Do you see this? Now, we're not getting into this yet, but on next Sunday, we're going to get into the fact of the life being a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. We're just trying to lay a foundation for that. What we're going to do now, we're going to go from place to place, year after year. We're going to make money. And as we do this, we're going to be happy. Because we're making decisions. And the Lord is saying, come now. I want to call your attention to something. There are some special things that you need to know, and they're down in these other verses that we're not studying now. I want you to see that there's some things you should be saying, and there's some things you should be doing, and there's some ways that you should be thinking, and you're not thinking that way, but I want you to see about the brevity of life. On the morning of November 22nd, 1963, President Kennedy was given a shady oak western hat at a breakfast sponsored by the Fort Worth Chamber of Commerce. Some of the press photographers wanted him to try it on so that they could take a picture of him. President Kennedy grinned at them and said that he'd be glad to pose in it if you come to the White House Monday morning. But he never made it back to the White House alive. He was killed in Dallas later that day. You know not what tomorrow will bring. On Saturday, August the 30th, 1997, Diana, the Princess of Wales, arrived in Paris for what she thought would be a pleasant visit. She was on her way to London, had plans to fly there the next day. She spent some time at the Ritz Hotel, and shortly after midnight, she got into a car for a short trip to a nearby apartment. But she never made it to the apartment. She was killed in a tragic car accident in a Paris tunnel. She had made plans for the next day and the coming days. She didn't make it. During her last year at the university, Marge and her best friend had their graduation pictures taken. They were both making plans for the future. Marge was going to teach in Newfoundland, and her friend was looking for a job in Nova Scotia. But one November night, her friend decided to go for a ride with her boyfriend. He fell asleep at the wheel and went off the road. The car hit a tree. She was killed instantly. She had made plans for coming days, coming weeks, and coming years. It didn't happen that way. On the morning of September 11, 2001, almost 3,000 people went to their jobs in the World Trade Center. All of them had plans for that afternoon. They had plans for that evening. They had plans for the coming weeks. But their plans were all in vain. They were tragically killed in the terrorist attacks. There's not a person here this morning who's not aware of what took place at that time, and some of you have horrible memories of seeing people jumping out of windows and falling to their death. We do not know what tomorrow brings for us. We do know, though, who holds the tomorrow. Amen. What will this year bring for us? What will tomorrow bring for us? Things like I mentioned could happen to any one of us. I read in the paper the other day that one of the professors, I believe at Rice University, expecting a little baby, stepped out on the street, was hit by a car, and killed. That lets us know that life is a vapor that appeareth for a little season and then vanishes away. What's tomorrow going to bring for you and me? Things like I mentioned here could happen to any one of us. We all have our plans for tomorrow. We have our plans for next week, for next month, for the summer. But we really don't know what one day is going to bring about. In light of that, my question to you today and to myself is, how are we going to live right now? James tells us in these verses, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that and spend a year there, carry on business and make money. And then the scripture says, why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's a vapor that appears for just a little while and then vanishes away. Oh, so much more can be said. We could spend much more time preaching today, but I want us to think seriously about the fact of how far you and I are from eternity with the Lord. One breath, one heartbeat, and we do not know exactly when that will take place. All of us who sit in this auditorium today have had loved ones to pass away. They've left this life and they're in the presence of the Lord as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. it's not going to be long at the longest until we're going to say goodbye to this old earth and we're going to say hello to our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has saved us, the one who knows far more about us than we know about ourselves. My goal is to help you and me to see the importance of living our lives in relationship to the Lord in a proper fashion. We cannot do that if we do not love Him preeminently, if we do not love His Word supremely, if we do not study consistently and faithfully, if we do not practice and utilize and metabolize God's truth on a day-by-day basis. To the people who hear this message by way of the internet, life for you is very short at the longest. I would encourage you to see yourself as one leaving this life anytime soon and realizing that to leave this life without Jesus Christ is the most tragic thing that could ever happen. To leave this life without knowing personally Jesus Christ means that the person lives in a place of eternal destruction forever and ever. Do you realize that? To leave this life without Jesus Christ means an eternal destiny in a place of destruction where a person never dies but would love to die and cease to exist but cannot. Oh, we must realize the importance of knowing personally Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." There's only one way of salvation, and that's through the person of Jesus Christ. He left heaven's glory, deity too, became the God-man, came to this earth for the purpose of going to the cross, to die on the cross for the sins of mankind. He was buried. He came forth out of that grave, victorious over death and hell and sin and the grave. He ascended to sit. And when He ascended, the Father said to Him, "Sit here at My right hand." Oh, how beautiful that is. Which simply means that God was propitiated, satisfied with everything that the Lord Jesus Christ had done. He sits at the right hand of the Father right now to save and to bless. To you who are saved, He desires to bless us. To you who are unsaved, He desires first of all to save you and then to continue to bless you. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, help us to know today that when Jesus Christ came to this earth, He was willing to suffer and bleed and die. He gave everything for us. His suffering extended far beyond physical suffering because of the fact that He was willing and capable of suffering the sins of the world, taking upon Himself the one who knew no sin, the sin of all mankind, that we might be the recipients of His grace and the recipients of imputed righteousness. We pray that there will be those, even now, who will trust You as their own personal Lord and Savior. And we thank You that though we realize that life is but a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes away, that those who are believers in Jesus Christ, when life is over on this earth, it's not over. We go into that place of eternal joy, bliss with our Savior, where we'll be forever and ever. And we thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.